الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله viewers of Middle Channel welcome to the program Call to Righteousness this is our second episode and in the previous episode we were talking about the masjid and introducing the topic of call to righteousness. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, there will be no shade except for three types of people. Number one is he who removes a worry from a fellow ummati. Number two is he who revives a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And number three is he who spends his time in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak. And this is our intention that in every program at the beginning we'll try and give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak so that our viewers are encouraged and become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. And who knows, that one extra Durood e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, it is stated that Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullah has stated that the one commanding people to do good deeds and preventing them from evil ones is the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Akbar. As well as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and that of his book. It is stated in a hadith, if Muslims give up Islamic preaching, cruel kings will ruin over them and their prayers will not be answered. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Malik Channel, think to yourself nowadays, if we look around us and we look at the fact that our du'as are not accepted, and people make this complaint that our du'as are not accepted, that we're doing du'a, it's not accepted. Maybe it's because we've abandoned this. Maybe it's because we've abandoned this obligation that we have given up calling people to the path of righteousness. And nowadays people around the world will say, oh, this leader is no good, that leader is no good, that leader is oppressive, that leader is not letting us practice Islam, or whatever it is. Here, that we're told that Sayyidina Hassan Basri Ramatullah had stated that if we give up Islamic preaching, then a time will come where cruel kings will rule us and our prayers will not be accepted. Viewers of my channel, we need to reflect on this. Leader of the believers, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala said, O people, command others to do good deeds and prevent them from evil ones. You will be leading a peaceful life. Leader of the believers, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala has also stated, Islamic preaching is the best jihad. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, viewers of the channel, if we're not having a peaceful life, if you've not got peace in your heart, people say, there's no barakat in my household, there's no peace in my heart, there's no tranquility in mind, I'm always stressed, I'm always anxious. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anhu is giving you the medicine here. He said, command others to do good deeds and prevent them from evils and you will be leading a peaceful life. There's a saying in English that I'm alright, Jack, meaning that I'm okay, so why should I worry about anybody else? I'm okay. I've got I'm alright, I'm reading my namaz, my family's okay, I'm alright. And so there's this I'm alright Jack mentality, which is the wrong mentality to have, viewers of Malay Channel. You know, whenever there's a fire, it's in your neighbor's house. Why do you come out of your house? You come out of your house because you're scared that the fire will come to your house. And so you'll come out of your house. And if there's a fire in your house, the neighbors will come out of the house. And they will not go into the house again until the firemen have gone in and deemed that the house is safe, there's no smoke in that house, it's not affecting that house, and only then will you go back into your house. So a fire next door can affect your house. Your house is okay, the fire's not happening in your house, but that fire can affect you. Similarly, viewers of Mother Channel, the fires that are happening in society, the ills that are happening in society, they're not affecting you now. But that ills of society, it will only take a small spark, and that ill of the society will come to your house. It will come to your house, and then you'll be worried. Then you'll be thinking to yourself, "Oh, what can I do now? What can I do now? I should have attached myself to the environment of them brothers that were trying to stop this from happening, trying to stop drug dealing from happening, trying to stop adultery from happening, trying to stop knife crime from happening, trying to stop all these things from." I ignored it, thinking I've got nothing to worry about. But then now it's affected me. And before it affects you, do something. And in that same scenario of using the channel, "I'm all right, Jack" scenario, that you may say to me that, "Okay, I, alhamdulillah, I'm confident, I'm happy with my iman, I'm confident, I'm happy with the iman of my children, that insha'Allah azawajal, they will protect it and they will die as Muslims." Two questions. Number one, can you guarantee that? Can you guarantee that? No, you can't. Okay. Number two, what about your children's children? What are you doing for them? What foundations are you going to lie down for them so that they can protect their iman as well? You may be strong enough in your household to try and protect the iman of your children. But what about your grandchildren? What about your great-grandchildren? Do you not have this fear inside you that maybe to my generations to come, there'll be people that will not be Muslims. There'll be people that will commit all sorts of sins. Do you not have that fear inside you? You should. You should. Because them people, them generations to come, if they are pious people, if you have pious descendants, then you'll benefit from them in that dark and lonely grave. But if them people I've left the fold of Islam, left the path of righteousness, are committing all sorts of sins, then you will feel it in that dark and lonely grave, views of the channel. You will have them regrets in that dark and lonely grave. Allahu Akbar. The leader of the believers, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, has also stated, "The heart that does not consider good as good and evil as evil will be turned upside down, as the things inside a bag, when turned upside down, fall and scatter." You know, views of the channel, that's the problem as well. That we don't even realize that something's wrong. We don't even realize that something's wrong. We think, "It's okay. Yeah, he's only a small kid. What's wrong if he's swearing now? What's wrong if he's not reading his namaz now? As he gets older, he'll sort himself out. You know, or he's messing about now, but he's a small kid. He's a small kid. He doesn't know right from wrong." Why does he not know right from wrong? Because you've not informed him. And so the thing is we don't even realize that this is wrong. You know, how many households have you seen where a small girl is dancing? A small girl is dancing, and instead of saying to the daughter, "Beta, this is not what we do. Don't dance, beta. Yeah, come here, do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal." What do? We clap. And we get other people to clap. And then we make a video of it. And we send it to our friends. We make a video of it and we put it on social media and let everybody know that my daughter is dancing. Astaghfirullah. When a child swears for the first time, he swears for the first time, what do? Do you tell the child off? Do you explain to the child? Or do you just snigger and laugh and think, "Oh, look what he just said. Did you see what he just said? Hi, hi, Machala." That's not what we should do. And on the topic of swearing, views of Machala, before I continue, a question for you. You know, in a household where the children can speak Swahili, for argument's sake, why is this? It's because the parents speak Swahili. If in a household the children speak Urdu, why is this? It's because the parents can speak Urdu. In a household where the children can speak Chinese, why is this? Because the parents can speak Chinese. Similarly, here in the UK, if a children speak English, why is it? Because the parents speak English. If in a household the children swear, why is this? Why is this? It's because the parents swear. And the children see this. And the children see this and then they realize that this is okay. My dad's doing it, so what's wrong with this? So we need to be the role model, the examples for them. We need to call them to the path of righteousness from a young age. Don't leave it too late. Don't think to yourself, "Oh, when he gets older, I'll sort it out. When he gets a bit older, it'll be okay." No, from a young age, the tarbiyat of a child starts in the cradle. Acquire the knowledge of the deen from the cradle to the grave. Not when you're 9, not when you're 14, not when you're 15. No, not when you're a teenager. No, not when you're married. No, from the cradle to the grave. From the cradle to the grave, from that early moments, you are to teach the child. Allahu Akbar. But viewers of the Money Channel, these days sins have been committed so much that we don't even think that they are wrong. We don't even realize they are wrong. And sins are so common and widespread everywhere. Admittedly, pious people are still in the world. People are still in the world. These pious people are there. But because of the overwhelming environment that's become a sinful environment, these pious people are a minority. Allahu Akbar. And alhamdulillah, viewers of Madani Channel, we are blessed. You are watching this program now on Madani Channel, and this program is part of the environment of Dawah Islami. And we are blessed with Dawah Islami. And because of this environment, So many people, alhamdulillah, have rectified their ways, come back to the path of righteousness, sorted themselves out. And not only have they sorted themselves out, they become pious people, but also they're working on the mission to make other pious people as well. And so viewers of the channel, I would recommend each and every one of you to come and join the environment of Dawah-e-Islam. It's not only to protect your iman, protect the iman of your environment, and also to help people as well. And I'm going to give you a small story here, a parable of someone, his story, his personal story of how he rectified himself. He said that I used to abuse and quarrel with people on minor matters. I was extremely fond of watching films and dramas and listening to songs and music. I wasted a large part of my life in those sins. I used to work as a driver of the owner of a bungalow. What led me to repent my sins is that one day, after I had done my work, I sat in a room where I listened to a sunnah-inspired telecast speech on Madin Sham. The speech made me tremble with fear, causing me to feel ashamed of my sins. The speech made me repent straight away from all of my sins, and I repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I intended that I would lead my life on the path of the sunnah. And then the announcement of the 30-day tarbiyat itikaf in the holy month of Ramadan came, and with the persuasion from the Muslims to attend, it was made on the channel. I immediately made the intention of attending the itikaf. Responding to this, I stayed in that masjid for 30 days. Allahu Akbar. He spent 30 days in the masjid in itikaf, and then after that, I made intention to travel for 12 months in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. How did this happen, viewers of my channel? How did this happen that that person, even though it wasn't his house, he was in somebody's house, but in that house, what were they watching? They were watching Madani Channel. He watched Madani Channel, and as a result of watching Madani Channel, not only did that person remove himself from that environment, repented from them sins that he had. He had that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only did he repent, not only did he cry in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, not only did he rectify himself, but he spent 30 days in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal in itikaf. And not only that, after that, he spent 12 months in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, learning and preaching the deen. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All of these are the blessings through Madani Channel. And I'd like to take a moment here, viewers of Madani Channel, to request you all to support Madani Channel. Support Madani Channel with your donations, set up standing orders, and direct debits as well. And we can see from this, viewers of Madani Channel, that this person realized, and this again, he made that realization, viewers of Madani Channel. He realized that he has this problem. He realized that he's got this disease inside himself. And that is what we need to realize, viewers of Madani Channel. Nowadays, you know, we go to the doctors and we get a blood report. And from the blood report, we can see our sugar levels, our cholesterol levels, our other iron levels, vitamin D, whatever it is we check, and we get them. And according to that, we react. According to that, we react and we make changes in our lifestyle. We might eat less sugary foods. We might eat less fatty foods. We might start doing more exercise as a result of this analysis that we have got. But do ever we analyze our soul? Do we ever realize what diseases we've got in our soul that are affecting us? Do we ever get a statement in front of us and say, okay, yeah, I commit the sin of backbiting. I commit the sin of lying, swearing, cheating. I do this. Okay. To stop backbiting, I need to do this. To stop this, to do this. Do we ever do that? We need to do this, viewers of Madani Channel. We should find the cure of the diseases of our sins. And believe me, if we die, Allahu Akbar. If we die without repentance, Allahu Akbar. If we die without repentance, then we'll not find shelter. We'll not find shelter from the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the traits of the pious bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jal are unique. In spite of performing good deeds, they fear Allah Azza wa Jal and they look for a cure of sins. Sayyidina Hassan Basri, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated that once he was accompanying a young pious worshipper to somewhere in Basra, when he saw a physician, in front of the physician were a large number of people, including women and children, with bottles of water in their hands, waiting to get medicine for the diseases. They were waiting to get medicine for the diseases. The young pious worshipper asked the physician, he asked him, do you have the cure for sins? Do you have the cure for sins? And the physician, mashallah, he was wise. He said, yes, I do. The young man said, please tell me the cure. And the physician replied, the cure for sins consists of 10 things which are follows. Allahu Akbar. Number one, take a root from the tree of destitution and humbleness. Number two, add a mixture of repentance to it. Number three, put it into the bowl of divine will. Number four, crush it properly with the press of contentment. Number five, put it into the pot of piety and asceticism. Number six, add water of modesty to it. Number seven, then boil it in the fire of divine love. Allahu Akbar. Number eight, then pour it into the bowl of thankfulness. Number 9, then cool it with the fan of hope. Number 10, then drink it with a spoon of divine praise. If you do all this, he said, then remember that this recipe will benefit you treating every disease and trouble of the world and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah, I pray that when will I give up my sins? When will I become pious? When will I get cured of the diseases of these things? I ask you all to pray for me, and we pray for everybody that we all get cured from the sins of our soul. Allahu Akbar. Views of Mother Channel is stated on page 125 of the book Shukr Ke Fazail, i.e. the blessings of thankfulness, that has been published by Maktabat al-Madina, a department of Dawud Islam, that Sayyidina Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that the one who considers just foods, drinks and clothing the favour of Allah Azza wa Jal certainly has little knowledge. These are not the only favours. These are not the only favours. And how regretful it is, viewers of Money Channel, that the love of this world is intensified in our heart. We are blindly running after the luxuries and the comforts of the world. On the contrary, the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, the true devotees of the Rasul, will be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal from being protected from the worldly desires and the favours. In this book of Shukr Ke Fazail that I just mentioned on page 68, we learn a lesson. It says in there that Sayyidina Majma Ansari Ramutullah narrated that a saint has said, the favour of being protected from the comforts of the world granted to me by Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than that of a luxurious worldly life, because Allah Azza wa Jal has disliked the world for his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, I hold dear the favours of Allah Azza wa Jal as light for his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than the ones he disliked for his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said to himself that whatever the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked, I want me to like that. Whatever the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disliked, I want to dislike that as well. And again, there is a form of love, isn't it? It is a form of love that a person loves what the person that he loves loves. He dislikes what the person that he loves dislikes. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disliked the trappings of this world. Now, I'm not here to say to you, viewers of Mother Channel, that don't have a car, don't have a house, don't have a business, don't have these things. But at the same time, remember your responsibilities. Remember your purpose in your life. And your purpose in your life is not to have all these worldly luxuries. Your purpose in your life is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Your purpose in your life is to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Your purpose in your life is that when you enter that dark and lonely grave, you enter it in such a state that when the questions of the grave are answered, you can answer them in the correct manner. And also that grave, that dark and lonely grave, becomes a grave from the gardens of paradise. Allahu Akbar. If only we can have that mindset. Viewers of Mother Channel, we need to make sure that we live our life in such a way. We live our life in such a way that we prepare ourselves for the hereafter. And just to give you an example here, viewers of Mother Channel. If somebody, you know, comes to these countries, America, Canada, England, Europe, they have to get a visa. They have to get a visa to come here. And they come here on student visas, work permit visas, whatever visas they come. And that visa says to them that you can stay in this country for a fixed amount of time. After that fixed amount of time, either you've got to get a new visa or you have to leave the country. Now what happens is then people come here, and after that fixed amount of time, they're supposed to go back. And they don't. Some of them don't. And they're not in a position to get another visa, so they stay. And then people, they become classed as illegal immigrants. Now the illegal immigrant, his lifestyle is different to the rest of the people. He's constantly looking over his shoulder, thinking to himself that I'm worried. I'm going to get caught one of these days. And he also knows that when he gets caught, he's going to get sent straight to a detention center, from the detention center to the airport and the airport back to his country of origin. So what he does is, everything, he works hard. He works harder than the rest. He works 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. He tries to earn as much as he can. And what he does is, with that money is, he doesn't buy a car, he doesn't buy a house, he doesn't invest it here. What does he do? He sends it back home. He sends it back home because he knows that if he gets caught, he's not going to have the opportunity to sell that house, to sell that car, to go to the bank to take the money. He's not going to have the opportunity. So what he does is, he sends everything back home because he's afraid that he's going to get caught. Viewers of Mother Channel, I'm not here to ask you, what are you sending back home? But what I am here to ask you is, what are you sending forward? In the same way that that person is afraid that he could get caught, and he will not be able to earn one more penny. In the same way, we need to have this fear inside us, that the angel of death could catch us. And when the angel of death catches us, we'll not be able to do one more good deed. What deeds have you sent forward? Now remember, in these countries in the West or wherever you are in the world, they may have an amnesty, they may have a change of policy, and they may say, okay, you know what? All of those people here that are illegal, let's make them legal. We'll issue your passports. And the person that's an illegal immigrant, he has this hope inside him that one day, I'll become a legal person here. I'll become a legal person in this country. But when it comes to the angel of death, we should never have this hope, because this hope is false, that the angel of death will bypass us. The angel of death is never going to give us an amnesty and say, okay, you can live forever. It's never going to happen. You are going to die. You are going to die. You're going to enter that dark and lonely grave. You're going to be lowered into your grave. People will throw soil on top of you, and you'll be all on your own. No money with you, no gold with you, no business with you, no wealth with you, nothing. The only thing you will have with you is your good deeds. What good deeds have you got? What good deeds have you got? And are you benefiting from your good deeds as well? Not only the good deeds that you perform, the namaz that you perform, but are you benefiting after you passed away from good deeds that you performed in this dunya? Have you called people to the path of righteousness so that their good deeds also benefit you? Have you brought up pious children so that they perform good deeds so that you benefit from them? Have you spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that by spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that masjid, that madrasa, that well, whatever you have done to benefit the ummah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have you done any of that? If you have, then marhaba, insha'Allah, azawajal, when you're in that dark and lonely grave, you'll benefit from that. But the state today's views of money channel, if we look at generally the ummah as a whole, then unfortunately we are in name Muslims only. We are in name only. We have Muslims' names, but we're not acting as Muslim. Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullah, has stated that Islam will exist in name only. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It is narrated that Sayyidina Ali Murtada radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a time will come, viewers of the channel, a time will come upon people when Islam will exist in name only, and the Quran will just be a tradition only. The masjid will be full of people but empty of guidance. The ulama will be the worst of people under the sky. Fitna will emerge from them and will return to them. Allahu Akbar. And with regards to this, Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan Naimi said that the names of Muslims would be Islamic, and they would call themselves Muslims, but their lifestyles, their appearances would be like those of non-Muslims, as they're commonly seen today. We are seeing this today. It may also be seen that the names and apparent forms of the pillars of Islam will exist, but the essence will die out. For example, he says, Salah will be offered, apparently, but will there be no humility of the heart and the body. Zakat will be paid, but there will be no cooperation with the community. Hajj will be performed, but for sightseeing. Allahu Akbar. Is that how low that we've become, that we are Muslims in name only? Commenting on the part of this hadith, that the Quran will exist as a tradition only, the Honourable Mufti Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that the word, the Arabic word rasm used in the above these implies as a mark as well as a tradition. Both of these meanings may be applied here. That is, the marks of the Quran will be printed on papers and its words will be uttered, but its reverence in the hearts and compliance with its commands will disappear. Or alternative implies that the Quran will be used for swearing falsely on it and courts and be read at funerals. Allahu Akbar. You know, nowadays you see that unfortunately in those households where the Quran is never read, yet when the daughter leaves the home, they'll have a Quran above the head. Yeah, they'll put the Quran above the head of the daughter as she's leaving the household. And them households that, you know, they're there, the Quran is wrapped up in a beautiful cloth, it's put on the top shelf. It's never looked at, it's never read. And the only time we look for it or we try and find it is when someone pray for us, passes away. And then we think, oh, you know what? We should read the Quran, shouldn't we? Because this is the thing to do. This is the thing to do. And it's become a tradition that people do it. It's not become a practice in your houses. It's not something that happens in your houses when you read the Quran. Amir al-Sunnati has given us the Madani Namaz card. And I would advise all our viewers to download the Madani Namaz card. The Madani card is basically, it's a self-dedication thing. And in that, one of the things that Amir al-Sunnah advises us to do, he says that we should all recite at least 3 verses from the Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary. And you know, viewers of Money Channel, if you go to see a geologist, a person that studies rocks, and if you say to him that if a rock was at a certain place and a small stream that was dripping, it only had drips, would come into that rock, what effect would it have on that rock? He would say to you that drips constantly go in the rock would eventually make a dint in that rock. And if they continued, they would eventually make a groove in that rock. And if they continued, they would eventually make a hole in that rock through drops of water. If we make a habit, viewers of Money Channel, that three ayats of the Quran fall on our hearts every single day. Three ayats fall on our heart every single day. We read the Quran on a daily basis. Three ayats that we read, then inshallah, that will make a change in our hearts. Not only read them three ayats, but also read them three ayats in front of the family. Make it a family tradition. If you want to have a tradition, have a good tradition. Sit down as a family on a daily basis. Sit down and read three ayats of the Quran. Read the commentary. Read the translation of it, and gain the blessings from this. And if you know, so many things that we do nowadays, and the reason why we make the mistakes is we've not read the Quran. We don't know what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from us, and that's why we are suffering today, viewers of my channel. And if you want to know the source of your problems, if you want to know the source of the majority of your problems, viewers on the channel, when you get up in the morning, you go to the washroom. When you're about to wash your face and your hands, look at the mirror in front of you. And look at yourself and say, look, what are you doing? Are you the source of my problems? The fact that you're not reading your namaz, the fact that you're lying, cheating, swearing, backbiting, committing all sorts of sins. And then I wonder why I'm having all these problems in my life. I'm wondering why I'm having the problems with my spouse. I'm wondering why I'm having problems with my children. But what about me? What am I doing? What sins am I committing? Allahu Akbar. Coming back to that hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the masjid will be full of people but empty of worship. The Honorable Mufti Sahib says, it implies that the buildings of the masjid will be very handsomely constructed with engraved doors and walls, and modern electricity facilities will be there, but there will be no one to offer salah in them. The imams will be deviants. In other words, masjid will become the source of misleading beliefs rather than true guidance. The voices of deviant speakers delivering speeches will be coming through the loudspeakers from every masjid, but those speeches will be lethal poison that will spread disbelief and disobedience in the name of Quranic teachings. Commenting on the last part of the hadith, he, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated, there will be a large number of deviant and non-practicing scholars who will cause serious harm surrounding all Muslims like a thing encircled by something else. Is that not true, viewers of my channel? That we have beautiful masjids now, don't we? We have beautiful masjids that can cater for thousands of people. Beautiful marble, beautiful carpets, beautiful domes, beautiful engraving. You know, millions of pounds have been spent on these people coming for the masjid, which is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. These masjids should be beautiful. And the masjid should be the center of the community. The masjid should be the most beautiful, beautiful building in the whole community. And I remember, viewers of my channel, I once went to a village in Kashmir. And when I went there, I was so impressed that all the houses were very, very simple. But the masjid, Allah, but the masjid was beautiful. And I felt proud, you know, that the community here, they're living in simple houses, but they made the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Honestly, so happy to see such a beautiful masjid in that community where they all lived in simple houses. But the beauty of the masjid, viewers of my channel, the beauty of the masjid is not in the tiles. The beauty of the masjid is not in the carpet. The beauty of the masjid is not in the dome or how big the masjid is. The beauty of the masjid is in the namazi, in the people that come to the masjid. You may have a masjid that can cater for 5,000 people. Allahu Akbar. But how many people turn up at Fajr? 5, 6, 7, 8. And some of you might say I'm exaggerating. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes in some masjids, unfortunately, the imam is the only person that comes. He comes to read the namaz and he goes home. How sad it is that our masjids have become like that. That our masjids are empty. And the only time they are filled is during the month of Ramadan or on the day of Eid or the day of Jummah. And it's as if, like I said before, that for them short periods of time, we import Muslims. They come to our masjid and as soon as that Eid namaz is finished, we deport them again. Because they've left. They disappeared. They're never to be seen again. You know, the people that come and read namaz on Eid, and then we don't see them for months. We don't see them until the next Eid. And then when the next Eid they come and read the namaz, we don't see them for a long time now. Allahu Akbar. Is that what's happened to us, viewers of Manichal? That the only time we go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal is on the day of Eid. The only time we go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal is on the day of Jummah. And think about, what effect are you having on? You know, not only are you losing the benefit, but then what message are you giving to your children? Your children will get the same message that, okay, yeah, masjid, okay, yep, my dad goes there twice a year, that's what I need to do. I need to do it because my dad's doing it. That my dad goes every Friday, so okay, that's what I need to do. And he will do it. In the same way that if that mindset becomes in the children that when they go to the madrasa, and it's time for namaz, and the teacher says, okay, before you go home, let's read the namaz. And the father sitting outside in the car, and this happens in the Muslim channel, the father sits outside in the car, waiting for his child to come out, Whereas the child inside, he's reading his Salatul Asr, he's reading his Salatul Maghrib, he's reading his Salatul Isha, and the father, Allah Azza wa Jalla, is not giving him the blessing, not giving him the ability to come inside the house. What message are you giving to that child? That child will get the message that, okay, namaz is something that I do in the madrasa. Namaz is something that I do once a week. Namaz is something that I do once a year. After that, I don't have to do it. Because at home, nobody's reading the namaz. At home, nobody's taking the child to the masjid. Nobody's waking up the child in the morning and say, come on, son, let's go for fajr. Nobody's waking, saying to the son, look, beta, before we eat, let's go and perform Salatul Zuhr. Look, beta, before you start doing your homework, let's go to the masjid and perform Salatul Asr. Beta, before we have our food, let's go on Salatul Maghrib. Before we go to sleep, let's perform Salatul Isha. This is not happening. And because this is not happening, then what happens is that affects our children, and our children grow up, and they're not reading the namaz, and then we think, achha, what happened there? Why is my children not reading these namaz? Because you never read it. You never give your children time. You never give them the tarbiyah. You never call your own children to the path of righteousness. So viewers of Mother Channel, please reflect over this. And inshallah, in these coming programs, inshallah, that are part of this series of programs itself, we'll think about this, we'll talk about this, we'll give you some parables so that hopefully we can benefit from this. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching the second episode of Call to Righteousness. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, until the next episode, inshallah, we'll be back and we'll continue with this topic. But in the meantime, keep watching Madhi Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Come to Islam, come to the Sunnah. Come to Islam, come to the Sunnah. It's a call to righteousness. It's a call to righteousness.